This is Jay Sekulow. High drama in the Florida election.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The midterms are over. Or are they over? In the last two Senate races, we thought were going to the GOP. They seemed to win on election night. I'm talking about Florida. I'm talking about Arizona. Thousands of uncounted ballots keep popping up, though, mostly in the Democratic-leaning areas.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It has been over 48 hours since the polls closed, and Broward and Palm Beach counties are still finding and counting ballots. And the supervisors, Brenda Snipes and Susan Booker, cannot seem to say how many ballots still exist and where these ballots came from or where they have been. The people of Florida deserve fairness and transparency, and the supervisors are failing to give it to us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, here we go again. Miami-Dade, Broward County, Florida. The Senate and gubernatorial race now in question. High drama, high stakes, probable litigation in Florida because of recount. So it was pretty clear that there was now a surprising number of ballots have been found in Broward County. What a shock. And that includes, of course, Miami as well. So Miami-Dade. So you ask yourself, how is it now, three days after an election, they're still finding ballots? And then you find out that the Broward County Supervisor Election Office was deemed to be violating federal and state law by destroying ballots from a 2016 congressional race while the ballots were subject to a lawsuit at the office. Based on that ruling, Florida's Department of State sent election experts to Broward's election office to ensure compliance. They ended up paying a $200,000 attorney fee award to the defeated candidate who sued the office, but they destroyed the ballots.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that's not what happened. I hope that they're not just finding in this day and time with electronic balloting, you would think this would not be an issue.
Yeah.
But apparently in Broward County, it is.
Well, and what we're seeing across the state, I think what Marco Rubio said in the opening of the broadcast, a senator from Florida, is that it is absurd that in Bay County, all votes get counted after a Category 4 hurricane hits. No problem.
Right.
Miami-Dade, Broward, had no issues with storms around the election. And as usual, can't figure out, even with this computer balloting, where to find the ballots, how to count them. And this is, by the way, following a trend we're seeing across the country. So Florida is at these levels where it's a hand recount in the Senate race, a machine recount in the governor's race. Gillum he conceded.
Yep.
He's unconceded now. In Arizona, the Democrat is now up by almost 10,000 votes, and they say there's an additional 400,000 votes to be counted still in Arizona and in Georgia.
I mean, Florida right now, they have Bill Nelson up.
And in Georgia, Stacey Abrams is just waiting out to see if Brian Kemp falls below that 50% number to 49.9, and then that requires in Georgia a runoff. So she's not trying to win by recount. She's just trying to let all the votes come in to see if it's has to be an actual runoff.
Yeah, but look, if there's a question of, you know, the mail-in ballots and that stuff, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But it's these missing ballots that show up mysteriously after the election. Florida, what you're seeing in Florida and Arizona, explain to me how there's 400 or 600,000 outstanding votes, ballots cast. Dan, what's the reaction up there?
These are shenanigans in Florida, Jay. I'm just going to say it simply. You can say that's my opinion. Look, in Arizona, it's a slightly different situation. You've got an exorbitant number of what are called late earlies. Those are late arriving early votes that still remain to be counted. That strikes me as suspicious, too. But, Jay, in Florida, they are finding boxes of ballots that they didn't know exist, allegedly, twice a day. Twice a day, they're finding new ballots.
Boxes of ballots. Okay, it's electronic.
Boxes?
It's electronic balloting, and they're finding boxes of ballots. Are we going to have hanging chads again? Because there aren't anymore, supposedly.
Probably.
All right, we're taking your call. What's your reaction to the, what do you call it, shenanigans, Dan? Florida shenanigans. And we'll talk about all this elections, claims of election fraud coming now. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Hey, don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. I was looking at our case list today. Brand new pro-life cases filed in federal court. Two briefs going to the Supreme Court, friend of the court briefs, one involving that Brandenburg Cross. So a lot of activity going on. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. All pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, well, let's go through the list of Florida and the states that are at issue here. Yeah. Florida, Georgia, and Arizona, and then I'm going to take your calls. But again, if you're just joining us, I mean, this is, you got a recount going on in Florida. Miraculously, you have ballots showing up. Here's what Marco Rubio said. Take a listen to what he said about Panama City, Bay County, gets hit with a Category 4 hurricane. Their ballots get counted. Broward County, Miami-Dade, not so much.
Bay County, Florida, where Panama City is, was hit by a Category 4 hurricane about 4 weeks to the day of this election. They were without power. You guys covered all this. They did all their ballots at a 52% return rate, you know, a 52% turnout despite the hurricane. They did all their ballots, submitted them on time. They were done basically on election night early the following morning, very early. Broward County, 48 hours later, is still counting. And they didn't have a Category 4 hurricane, and it's not the first time that they do this.
No, it's not, and I think that is key here. So no excuses. I'm sure it was very pleasant weather in Broward County and Miami-Dade. I mean, you know, no excuses. There was no natural disasters there. And yet, again, we're talking about Broward County. I mean, think about this. We are talking about Miami-Dade and Broward County,
which
West
is
Palm
Bush
Beach.
Bush versus Gore.
This takes
those
us back
that don't remember, which I sure do.
And by the way, it comes up regularly in elections that don't get as much attention as well.
Yep.
So it came up last election cycle where they get fined $200,000 in the Broward County office, $200,000 for destroying ballots in a race that wasn't that close but hadn't been fully analyzed yet. So they just needed to keep the ballots around. But let me underscore to people – and Than, this is important. I mean, in the way that the ballot system works there, obviously it's electronic voting, but you can do a hand recount because that's what's happening right now in the Senate race. It met the threshold for a hand recount. In the governor's race, it's at the threshold right now for a machine recount. So there are pieces of paper that these machines put out.
Yeah, these numbers aren't accident. I mean, they are specifically trying to get them under the two thresholds that you talked about. It's a quarter of a percent for a manual hand recount. It's a half a percent for a machine recount. And as you've noted, one of these races is now in each of those categories. But Jordan, I want to say something very clearly so people understand this. You heard Marco Rubio talking about the election supervisors there, and I know you alluded this to this as well. But in Broward County, Brenda Snipes, because of some ballot destruction, yes, destroying ballots that was contrary to provisions a couple of years ago, the Florida Secretary of State, Jordan, had ordered that monitors supervise her in this election. Now, apparently that monitoring didn't work because they left boxes of ballots behind in multiple places. And by the way, hauled them in rented U-Hauls, which violates every chain of custody control. So, again, just back to the original point, they are now under magic number thresholds of 0.5% and 0.25%. And they do that for a very specific reason, is to get recounts. And we've seen it before. Ask Marco Rubio, who's seen it. And I know somebody else sitting in that studio who's seen these types of things before. These are shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked on these races before. You've worked on this before. I mean, it is. Again, the idea is that in these specific counties, they are known problems. And by the way, let's remind you, these are Democrat strongholds. This is, it's not like they're finding votes across the state in the Panhandle.
Or the I-4 corridor.
Or the I-4 corridor, which is even more of like a toss-up corridor. No, this is the Democrat stronghold of Florida, the three counties that make that up.
Right.
And that's where they find the missing ballots.
All right.
And that's what scares me about Arizona as well, where they say there's still 400,000 outstanding early votes that came in late. I mean, just think about that. And we know the early voting numbers were high.
Yep.
But early votes that came in late, it's like they didn't have time to figure this out. And so now this race is, who knows what's going on there. I mean, the Democrats.
I don't know what's going to happen in Florida. I mean, right now, I think the last thing I saw is that Nelson's up again. No, that was incorrect.
I mean,
Will?
Yeah, that was.
So Fox got it wrong, or somebody got it wrong. All right.
And then in Georgia, it's a push to see if you can get to a runoff. So you're letting every vote try to trickle in. You're trying to find votes to trickle in so that Brian Kemp doesn't lose the race. But if you fall below 50% in Georgia, to 49.99, it's a runoff. So you'd have another election between Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams without any other candidates on the ballot. I mean, so you're talking about three states here that are in a bit of a quandary, let's say, that needs to be handled quickly.
All right, let's do this. We're going to go to the phones. We got a lot of people calling. A lot of people coming in. We got a lot of calls from Florida and Arizona.
Yep.
Let's go to them.
Yep. Jane in Florida on line one. Jane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
I'm really upset about this. Is there anything that we the people can do as far as a civil suit against Broward County? Because everyone knows they're corrupt. Everyone knows what's happening. But yet we're supposed to stand by and do nothing. And
well, you're not standing by and doing nothing, Jane. So let me let you finish in a moment here. But because lawyers are being engaged to monitor and litigate if necessary, if there's improprieties. I mean, we've done this all the way to the Supreme Court before, so this is not unusual. What is unusual here is the way this has come in and the way people are being notified. So as a Floridian, you have the right to be upset. You have the right to be concerned. Yeah. You have the right to contact your elected representatives. But right now, this is a legal issue, not a political one.
That's right. I mean, let me go to Regina in St. Petersburg, Florida, because I think this is key on line three. Regina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Last night on Twitter, Governor Rick Scott said that the doors were locked and Brenda Snipes was not permitting any oversight of the counting of the ballots.
I have a feeling until that's court ordered, she's probably going to have that fight. I don't think that Rick Scott is making up information. I think that this is a county where there's been irregularities with the supervisor before.
I think you got to get a court order here.
And you got to get a court order to allow observers in from both parties or campaigns to observe whatever is being counted or recounted in that county. And what we're talking about right now there is new votes coming in as of right now, not a recount, but new votes coming in.
Yeah.
I just think that when we know that there have been issues here, and then you bring in, you know, when you get past the machine issues, you start talking about human error. You need more eyeballs on everything because if you have somebody going through thousands of ballots, there will be mistakes. And these are races that are decided by hundreds of votes.
Yeah. So, Than, you bring up the point that
bizarrely, by the way, it's
only happening in Democratic strongholds. Apparently, that's the case. In Georgia, Fulton and DeKalb County, which tend to lean Democratic, or heavily Democratic, that seems to be what's happening here.
I think it's incredibly suspicious in Georgia as well, for the same reason that Jordan talked about in Florida. It's not happening in red country. It's happening in blue counties. Fulton and DeKalb are where they are continuing to find additional votes to close the margin. And just to kind of clarify the difference there, Jay, they're very, very close to what would be a December 4th runoff. So it would basically be restarting the election for just Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams. He's currently at 50.3% of the vote. There's no way they're going to find enough votes there to put Stacey Abrams in the lead. But all they need to do is dock him down another 0.3%, and you would have a runoff election in Georgia on December 4th.
It's just, I think what is shocking to people is that with all of us who vote electronically, there's a few that vote absentee still by paper, provisional ballots as well, but that you still get to this point with so many elections, with all the electronic, that we can't figure out who's won the election, 5 days later, 4 days later. And yet it continues to happen in places where, are they finding votes for Brian Kemp? Isn't it bizarre that they're not finding any votes for Brian Kemp? Why is it only Democratic counties, Democrat strongholds that can't count votes? I don't think it is that. I think it's that they find votes. They make up new votes. They start looking again. Let's take another look at those provisional ballots and make sure we didn't throw out ones that maybe should have been counted. So to me, again, the fact that they believe they can make up these kind of numbers is telling. It's over and over again, the same officials, they get put in place by Democrat strongholds. And now look at this. If you look at the screens, it is 2000 all over again.
Yes.
Protesters outside of election offices, county election offices, in Broward County, Florida.
Let's go ahead and take a call from Arizona here towards the break.
Yeah, Arizona as well. Let's go to Ashley calling in.
Let's go to Gary.
You want to go to Gary?
Yeah.
Gary in Mesa, Arizona, online for Gary. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking my call,
sure.
Because as a Republican, we had, at one point they claimed that McSally was ahead by 16,000. Now
right.
She's behind by 10,000.
Right, 26,000.
Adrian Fontes is the county recorder for Maricopa County, and the only votes they are counting are those from Maricopa County.
Yeah.
I looked on the election map, and McSally won 11 of the 15 counties by wide margins. And they're only counting ballots from Maricopa County, which is normally Republican.
That's
and I've heard the same thing of 400,000 got on the news, but I don't know where the source of that's coming from. But these ballots are you ballot and it's counted electronically. There's no way there can be any other ballots. And as far as I'm concerned, this looks pretty suspicious because a lot of money was dumped into this state by Soros and a bunch of
before we get into that, let's talk about the technical.
So the 400,000, what we're being told, Thane, is the majority of this 400,000 were early votes that came in so late that they didn't have time to tabulate them yet?
Yes, but that would have been on Tuesday. A late early vote, Jordan, has to be received on Tuesday. What day is it? It's Friday. Are you telling me that Arizona couldn't count all the early votes in 3 days? I agree with the caller. I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't know about the funding and who's doing what, but I will tell you this much. It's not passing any test. Look, we're going to talk about it. We're here. There's legal issues. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. I mentioned to you new cases going up on the Supreme Court. Agreed to hear what's called the Peace Cross, the Blandenberg's Cross out of Maryland. We're going to be filing a friend of the court brief on that one at the Supreme Court of the United States. We also are filing another amicus brief on a major pro-life case involving Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. And at the same time, we filed a federal litigation on behalf of Iowans for Life, groups for fighting for life. So a lot going on, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So let's go through the three states that have got the issues: Florida, Georgia, and Arizona. Now, Georgia's, let's start with Georgia's. Georgia's is a close race.
It's a close race where the Democrat candidate refuses to concede as Stacey Abrams, as votes continue to come in, trickle in. Now, this is normal. There are always votes that trickle in. This race happened to be very close. But she's not trying to win by not conceding. In Georgia, which is kind of unique, you have to get 50% of the vote when you're running for governor. If you fall below that, there is a runoff between the candidates who receive the two highest vote totals. That Brian Kemp is at like 50.3. So if enough votes come in by December 4th, I mean, the runoff would be December 4th. If enough votes come in that take him down below to 49.99, let's say, it's an automatic runoff between
and he's
Brian
at 50.3. So that probably gives him a threshold of about 30,000. Yeah.
Which you would think if the votes are coming in pretty equally, that it's not going to go down below 50%.
So when is Georgia saying that they are going to be done with their counting? And Kemp is the Secretary of State. He's recused himself, I understand.
Yeah, he actually resigned as Secretary of State. Yep. So, that's another big issue here in Florida as well, is that Florida, they're supposed to be counting. Like, how many votes were cast in Broward? The number keeps changing. They don't even know the total yet. So even if you're saying that we have all these uncounted votes that we found, the number of total votes cast keeps changing as they report. So, I mean, literally, it's the finding votes problem that is concerns Republicans in this case because it is a Democrat stronghold.
Let's go to line six.
Yeah, let's go to – oh, yeah, Susan calling in from France on line six. Susan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Where in France?
Hello, I'm in the Paris suburbs.
Okay.
Welcome to the broadcast. I'm a Miami-Dade voter for the federal elections, a senator and representative, and so I voted about 4 weeks ago. I sent my ballot in, and it's marked very clearly on those ballots that if it doesn't get there by the day of the election, that it will not count. And I don't understand why everybody's talking about counting all these ballots that are late. They just shouldn't count, you know?
Well, there are. Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead and finish up.
No, I just want to say, being in France, I know another system of elections which doesn't seem to have any of these problems. We all have paper ballots, and they're all counted by Monday morning after a Sunday election.
Well, here's the issue that's going on in Florida. So you look at this is not a statewide recount right now. Now it may get to the threshold where it is, but it's not that. So right now these are not recounts; these are additional ballots being discovered. So let's not confuse it with a recount. This is surprise, surprise, Nelson loses, Gillum loses, the other two are the senator-elect and governor-elect, and shockingly, Broward County, Miami-Dade finds ballots. That's really what's happened in Florida. Georgia's is different. Georgia's a close race. It's a question of whether it will go down to the threshold. Are they doing any recounts in Georgia right now? I don't think there's a recount.
This is just a close race.
Although the spread, by the way, I said 30,000. It's more like about 120,000 difference in
votes. We talked about early voting. There's also absentee ballots that have to be counted. And these are big states, big turnouts. Those are still trickling in, but not for much longer. If there's no shenanigans, as we keep saying, they shouldn't be trickling in much longer in Georgia. And we should know pretty soon if Brian Kemp there is able to keep that 50.3 margin. By the way, again, leading it into a runoff, again, I think that, you know, you'd have the president reengage and it'd be the race of the next 2 weeks because it has to happen by December 4th. But Again, I really don't believe we get there if this is fair, because usually if you're saying generally we've got absentee ballots, yep. generally we have early votes, they kind of balance out each other.
Right.
Problem in Florida is that the counties where Rick Scott has filed these lawsuits are Broward and Palm Beach County. That's not a balancing out place. That's probably 2-1 Democrat to Republican. Yeah. So you will only increase Democrat votes by recounting there. And so in one of these counties, in Palm Beach County, what Rick Scott is alleging with the NRCC is that their election supervisor is using their own judgment to determine voter intent over whether a damaged or incorrectly filled out absentee ballots and not allowing the impartial witnesses, as the caller said. So this person is you filled out your ballot wrong. Now, it tells you on there, if you fill this out wrong,
it's not valid.
It is out. It is not. That's it.
Right.
So it's pretty clear. They're now going back to look at the intent. Oh, did they mess up? It was just, you know, it doesn't matter.
This is
matter.
Where lawyers go down, which is happening now, and there will be litigation. They're not right now. They're not
right.
Right, but that there will be court proceedings to get them access.
Right.
So you got two issues legally: access, and then once you're in access, is the process that's being utilized valid under the Constitution? But you got to get access. That's you start it with access. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yeah, Maria in Florida. We asked for Florida callers, Georgia callers, Arizona callers. We're getting those. And Maria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you?
Good.
I was an assistant clerk in Palm Beach County
for
this most recent election. When voters come in, they are given a paper ballot to process. However, the numbers are counted. At the end of the evening, the electronic number has to match with the paper ballot. Those ballots are then boxed up, transferred to a central location, and then counted there. However, those paper ballots have to match with the number of voters that actually came in. So I don't understand in Broward County how they cannot have or have lost 400,000 ballots.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, the 400,000 numbers that are coming out of Arizona.
Yeah.
What we don't know out of Broward is at all how many votes are outstanding. That is one of the problems, Marie. And you shed light. I've been a Florida voter before in a primary elections before. So in some local elections. So not just primaries and local elections. It is a little different, the electronic. It's like a paper electronic hybrid there.
Yep.
One of the issues is, you know, we had a caller who was a Florida voter who sent their absentee ballot in from France. Why does this work so well in France? In our Constitution, we allow the states to operate this.
Right.
And by doing so,
it's not nationalized.
It's really the Secretary of States who set the framework for what kind of ballot you use, how this is. So
right.
In Florida, you heard from Maria, you get a paper and you vote electronic. Then they got to match the paper and the electronic. You can see right there areas for the potential for abuse. Now, I am not accusing. Most of these election workers are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. This is not a pleasant temporary job. But it does open the door for abuse, and it seems like the door opens in the same counties over and over and over again.
Let me read you a headline from the Broward. This is from the Broward paper. Okay. We're not accusing anybody of anything. Broward election supervisor illegally destroyed ballots in Wasserman Schultz race, judge rules. Okay, that's not us. That's the newspaper. That's the Sentinel, which is the main paper there, one of the main papers there. So the Broward County Supervisor of Elections Office, and that's what Jordan's talking about. These are state election offices, county election offices, violated state and federal law by destroying ballots from a 2016 congressional race too soon. And Than, you only got 40 seconds here. But the reality is, I know in Washington's already mobilized, and so are they mobilized elsewhere. But this is just, I think what Marco Rubio said is right. It's absurd.
Well, that same official in Broward County has found 18,000 new ballots that she allegedly didn't have on Election Day. By the way, Jay, she's required to report the total number of votes cast. This is one of the very issues that Rick Scott is suing about. You had to report a number, you reported a number, and now you have 18,000 more in your county alone.
Yep, you know, no question about it. All right, we're going to be taking a break. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you know what to do. Go over to ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. Don't forget the Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Just smiling because here we go again. I mean, it's like if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope, welcome to the broadcast on radio. You don't see my smile, but you could. Here we go. Florida. South Florida, particularly.
Yep.
Miami-Dade, Broward. Of course.
Palm Beach.
Mysteriously, miraculously, thousands of ballots showing up. Now that all the elections are in there. There's three states involved here. Let's kind of set the stage, and we'll go right back to the phones because people are holding. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Specifically, if you're in Florida, Georgia, or Arizona, we want to hear from you. But here's the thing. You got three issues. Georgia is a numeric issue. Than you said the differential between Kemp and Stacey Abrams is about 63,000?
That's right.
It would take a lot of votes to undo that. But it doesn't take that many to get it. So what would you have to do to get it into the mandatory recount? You probably
have to. It depends if you're finding new votes or turning new votes.
Well, have they started
the overall
process
number?
Where they're, are they saying anything in Georgia about finding new votes, or is it just finishing counting?
It's suspicious. I think, yeah, let's go to William in Georgia on line four, who's there. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan, AJ, I'm out of Macon, which is predominantly red state anyway. But, you know, I find it quite strange that Stacey Abrams would try to want to confess, saying that there are other votes that hadn't been counted in other areas. Because realistically, when we have elections before, it didn't usually take this long for them to actually come up with a live candidate.
You know, here's what you got. I mean, if I was Stacey Abrams' lawyer, I mean, I'd be looking at the numbers really close, too. It's a close enough race. But if she's really down right now by... If we're saying Kemp is up by 63,000, you'd have to flip. It basically be it's you got almost double. It's
120,000 votes.
Yeah, switch. Flip 120,000 votes. That's very well. You got to flip at least 63,000 to get to that.
Yes. The numbers
is it statistically possible with the number of votes that are up?
It should not be in a state like Georgia. It's just not that.
The question is, does it get it down to the run? I think we got to be clear on that. Yeah. I appreciate you calling in, William. But what in Georgia is different than Florida. Florida, we're not looking. They're looking at a recount situation down there. In Georgia, it is a runoff situation. Let's explain that.
So in Georgia, if you don't reach 50%, when you run for governor, if you don't reach 50%, the top two candidates then participate in a runoff.
That's by state law.
Yeah,
so that's what state law requires.
And that runoff would be on December 4th. So that means that you take out any third party or the other people. Sometimes you see those lists of how many people put their name on for governor.
20 people.
Yeah. So it takes off all that and it says the top two. So it would be Brian Kemp versus Stacey Abrams in less than a month. We're talking about on December 4th. That is if Brian Kemp falls below 50%. He is right now at 50.3%. So it's Stacey Abrams would have to find a lot more votes so that it gets closer. She's not trying to win, but just to get to recount. So I think that is the difference between Florida
and
Georgia, and then in Arizona, we're just waiting on votes to be.
So what are you hearing from the Arizona delegations there, Than? Because they're saying there's, 400,000 votes outstanding in Arizona?
In one county.
Which is the county that usually goes which?
So it's pretty Maricopa is
a conservative
for
county.
A large county. It's more conservative.
Yeah,
but DeKalb and Fulton are also reporting new votes coming in. So I think where there's
see,
a little
DeKalb
bit of suspicion.
Fulton, in Georgia, that is definitely
you're talking about in Arizona for Maricopa. Okay, yeah,
yeah. I mean, no, but well, if you talk about DeKalb and Fulton County, if you're talking about the Georgia race, and the only counties that you're finding are DeKalb and Fulton, well, those are the Democrat strongholds. So you're looking at trying to find enough votes to get to that.
So Kemp's
runoff.
People need to be looking at the other counties as well. I mean, absolutely. If they're smart, and I'm sure they are. Go ahead, Than.
Well, in Arizona, I think what I'm hearing is that 400,000 is just a huge number to have not been counted. I think that's what's causing people to shake their heads, yeah, in Arizona. You've had 3 days to count early votes. You can't get them done. In Georgia, Jay, somewhere between 20 and 25,000 votes that all Stacey Abrams would need to find to bring it under that number to push to that December 4th recount, or runoff, not recount.
Hey, look, if you're her lawyer, you're going to try to see if you're going to do what you can do legally to help her. And that's just, you may not like my answer on that, folks, but that's what the law is. It's a close race. She can get, if they find 25,000 votes that are legitimate votes.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We have a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Cases being filed in Iowa. Pro-life speech cases. Cases also being filed. Briefs being filed in a case involving Planned Parenthood and discriminatory abortion. Again, that's out of Indiana. A lot of work at ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
In one of the breaks, I want to play the live version of Undemocratic from the Jay Sekulow Band. And then maybe we'll play it at the end as a bonus here. If you tell us when we play it, if you like it. Let's do this. We're going to go take your calls. Florida, Arizona, and Georgia. That's what we're talking about.
Yep. And Donna has got a good warning out of Minnesota on line four. Donna, welcome.
Warning out of Minnesota.
On line four. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Donna.
Thank you, gentlemen. I wanted to say this really is not Florida 2000. This is Minnesota 2008. Norm Coleman clearly won the Senate race.
Yep.
Until they started finding ballots in the trunks of people's cars,
uh-huh,
enough ballots to put Al Franken over the top. And if you'll recall, he became the 60th vote for Obamacare.
Yeah, so in that race, Norm Coleman will often say he won the election, lost a recount, tried to file, lost the court challenges there. Al Franken wins by about 312 votes.
Yeah, so this is...
And Al Franken
had
lost.
Every vote counts, folks. Every vote counts. You see, it's a very divided country, which is the part of the American experience.
And it has been since about 2000. We've had these very divided places come up. Now, what's interesting, though, I think, is what Marco Rubio said, is that Florida, yes. What I think in Florida is that it's the same counties as the problem counties. It's not so much that we know that Florida is a divided state politically.
Yeah.
But and it
it's
makes
amazing
sense,
where it shows up, though.
But always the same place.
Yeah, every time. So, Than, that to me is the issue. And I think you're
these
exactly
are,
right.
These are counties that have
very
significant resources.
Yes.
Large
big
county,
government. Miami.
Miami. Palm Beach. Fort Lauderdale. That's the cities we're talking about.
And it's always there. It's Marco Rubio's right. It's never Panama City. Never Bay County. They can count there.
Not
they just
Jacksonville.
Can't,
yeah, it's not Sarasota.
Can't count down there in Miami-Dade. Go ahead.
Well, if you leave the same election officials in place that have proven they can't handle this responsibly, you're probably going to get the same result. And I would just say, Jay, the Al Franken, Norm Coleman election, that's actually pretty analogous here, too, as well, because the same people that went in and pulled the same exact stunts, I mean, literally the same names, Rick Elias is one of them, they're now heading down to Broward County to engage this one. So if you have the same local officials and the same people coming in making the same legal arguments, you might just end up with the same result. People need to watch out for that.
So in the particular case in Florida, I'm reading you the headline, Broward election supervisor illegally destroyed ballots in Wasserman Schultz race. That's what a judge ruled. This was from the 2016 election. The individual involved was the election official, last name was Snipes, Brenda Snipes. She called the action, quote, a mistake during testimony she gave in the case, saying the boxes were mislabeled and there was nothing on my part that was intentional. When I sign folders filled with information. I trust my staff. They have the responsibility of giving me the information that's correct. Judge ordered $200,000 in legal fees. Is she still the?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. Well, I mean, that look, people elect the election supervisors.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are Democrat strongholds electing supervisors that are that again have been up to no good and been caught by courts before.
Here is you. It's the army of lawyers go down. Yeah, this will be the quote that everybody picks up. But here we go. The army of lawyers, they're already going down there. They're going down for the Republicans.
Couple,
they're going. Rick Scott's brought lawyers in. I know that. I'm sure DeSantis is doing the same thing. The army of lawyers. You're going to dispatch armies of lawyers to Southern Florida. You're going to dispatch probably armies of lawyers to Georgia. And you're going to dispatch armies of lawyers, I suspect, to they're already there in Arizona. Those seem to be the ones.
Stakes are too high on what these seats
well,
mean.
And look, in the Georgia one, though, it's distinct from these others. I mean,
so that's whether there's a runoff. And then the outcomes, though, are determinative in Florida and Arizona. And in Arizona, we have not gotten to, like, recounting yet. We are talking about counting votes. And I think what concerns all of us about these issues is that you can determine a lot about, like, where a recount will go if you have a good number of how many votes there are. So if we know how many votes are cast in, you know, Broward County, and we look at the how many votes Rick Scott's winning by, and we know statistically kind of how Broward County votes, you know, you can have some certainty on then how the recount would come out and how close it would be. But the numbers keep changing. So Broward keeps finding more votes. And in Arizona, I mean, when you're talking about numbers like 400,000, who knows? I mean, you can't statistically can't do much with that at all except for wait for them to be counted. But as Stan said, that was early votes that came in by the deadline.
Yep.
And they still have not been counted as of, you know, Friday. And this is a time they're supposed to hire more workers, get the votes counted.
Yep.
People should not have to wait this long to figure out who their elected officials are.
Let's go ahead and take call one.
Terry in Georgia on line one. Terry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Terry, go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that Abrams filed a complaint against a county next to me, Daugherty County, which is a Democratic stronghold. She filed a complaint against the Daugherty election superintendent yesterday. They met at 10 a.m. this morning in a evidentiary hearing, asking for an injunction to count absentee ballots received after 7 p.m. election day and close of business today. She said there's overseas military and there's overseas ballots that have been delayed due to Hurricane Michael.
Well, the court will make a determination under due process whether that complies or not. Now, technically, probably under the – depends if there's a – in the statute, does it allow for what they call acts of God or natural disasters to delay the time frame in which it's due? You have that, like, in the tax code, they can give special exemptions when things happen for filing. But I don't know about that in the Georgia
code. It would have been on that probably the delay in mailing out because everything was fine by the time the ballots should have been coming in. So this would have been the ballots would have gotten to people late if they would have returned them still on time. That's all I could imagine there. So this is a lawsuit being filed right now. So as you said,
it's filed yesterday.
Lawyers are descending
in Daugherty County. That's what we've got now. Abrams' legal team told reporters at a press conference that a lawsuit will be filed later Thursday. It was filed, claiming that the absentee ballots in that county were mailed too slowly. He noted that the first delay was caused by an injunction, but ballots were later delivered due to the Hurricane Michael. That's why you got courts that are going to intervene there.
Yeah.
That's what will happen on that. All right, let's take another phone call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Robert in Tallahassee, Florida, on line three. Robert, welcome to JSecure Live. Let me remind people, too, as you're calling from Tallahassee, your mayor, who was had conceded the race for Governor Gillum, has unconceded now.
Yeah,
he's the race. His campaign is back in full swing with lawyers and attorneys. This is who figures this part out now, by the way. It's lawyers and attorneys. But they get their activists out there. You see the protesters hit the streets again as well.
That's part of the American thing.
Robert's got a good question about it. The courts stepping in.
Go ahead, Robert.
Welcome to JSecure Live.
I can remember that in 2000, the Florida Supreme Court ordered a recount in the presidential elections, and I was wondering if the Florida Supreme Court were to be called in for this midterm elections, and they ordered a recount, would that be a statewide recount?
Well, it depends. You raised a really interesting question. I was involved in those cases. So if a case reaches the Florida Supreme Court out of one of these where they think a state recount is necessary, the court has there's factors they weigh in making that determination as to what would be the appropriate remedy, what would be the appropriate way to handle it. And then a decision's made whether, in fact, you implement a statewide vote. All that went up to the Supreme Court of the United States. Remember that? Halted some of that. So it just depends on where the courts rule. But we're now in the infancy stage of it. I know that lawyers for both sides are down there litigating it. And as you can imagine, it's going to be very intense between now and my guess is Thanksgiving. I think that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prepare for it.
And they are preparing for it. Rick Scott's filed two legal actions. Stacey Abrams filed legal actions. I'm sure DeSantis will be filing.
Yep.
There's a difference between what recount levels are at. In the Senate race, you've got a hand recount. In the governor's race, it's a machine recount. You've got votes still being counted, new votes being counted in Florida, new votes waiting to be counted in Arizona, and votes that should have been disqualified or were initially disqualified because of issues involving, you know, timing when ballots have to be in, those votes trying to be counted in Georgia to get to. So in Arizona, we're looking at who won. In Florida, we're looking at recounts. So in Arizona, we're looking at counting the remaining votes. In Florida, we're looking at recounting and finding new votes, I guess. And then in Georgia, it's about whether or not new votes will be allowed in to the process, and that situation would be a runoff. So we'll keep following all these and taking your phone calls about it as well. I would take a call from outside of these states too. The people look at it, people looking in
30,
as well.
But you can do it.
But yeah, but Peggy in Idaho online too. Peggy, welcome to JSecure Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yep. I just had a question. Is it possible with these boxes of all of a sudden finding these ballots that they could have falsified them and change the way people voted, like, you know, got a new ballot and just filled
it in? It's a felony. I mean, if people did that, that's a felony. That's pretty serious stuff.
But I think it's
finding them is one thing, creating them is something else.
What seems like is happening more here is that ballots that were initially disqualified,
right,
like absentee ballots that weren't filled out correctly, are being reevaluated. So we know that's happening, and that's what Rick Scott's campaign is alleging is happening in West Palm Beach, is that the supervisor is now reevaluating the intent behind the errors made on the ballot. Now, if you make an error on an absentee ballot, it's supposed to disqualify the entire ballot. But again, you have to look at the state law. How much of this intent is allowed to come into play? How much power does the supervisor have? Again, we got another segment coming up. We'll take your calls. None of these are going to be settled today, these races. And in fact, in a sense, they are just getting started because this is a new process. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. The final segment of the broadcast, that's 1-800-684-3110. We have our matching challenge as well. Whatever you're able to support the ACLJ with, whatever amount, is doubled at ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran.
all pledged to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
You know, the break, we were discussing with Thad Bennett, you know, when you talk about these Senate races, Thad, the significance here of Republican victories versus Democrat victories is a lot about, we talked about that if you're at the number we're at right now, and, you know, maybe 54 Republicans, but if these challenges hold to go the other way, you're back down to 52 Republicans in the Senate, you're back to just a one vote gain in the U.S. Senate, so a little bit more of a pillow, if you will, a wiggle room. But not much more than we had last time around.
Yeah, hugely significant, Jordan. I mean, Florida was one of those states that looked like a Republican pickup. Arizona would be a new Democrat pickup. So Republicans would go from four pickups down to three. Democrats would go from one pickup up to two. And Jordan, again, and we talked about the difference 52, between
52. 48.
Yeah. Which changes everything here when you talk about confirmations, because you don't have as much wiggle room to lose votes on confirmations. You know, people like Lisa Murkowski get re-empowered and Susan Collins. Again, you're still looking at a Republican gain.
Yeah.
It's just by how many. So your Republicans are going to lose the Senate because of these two. And again, so I think let's just take...
Keep going to calls.
Yeah, right to the phone calls we go. People have been holding on. Joanne in Florida on line six. A lot of Florida callers say we asked for those calls because I think it's frustrating to Florida voters that who went through this process and they keep seeing it in their state. Let's Joanne, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. I know the lawsuits have been filed, so once the Republicans gain access to this ballot, what happens next is my first question. And my second question, if it turns out through all of this that the Democrats win the election for governor and or Senate, can we the people legally do anything to demand another runoff election?
You cannot. It'll depend what the courts say. So the way it works is, short of recall, you have to go through the constitutional process there. That's not likely. So what you'd have is, especially with an election that close, so what you'd have is a situation where it will be determined in the courts. And that will include the first issue will be access to the ballots. That'll be the issue number one. That will come down, I think. And then number two will be, and I think this is then, once you have access, what is the method utilized, court-approved method utilized, for validating ballots? And is it how do you determine intent by a paper ballot? And that's where the legal issues came in at Bush versus Gore. And the court said you really can't
same
do that.
Here, again, it's exactly these are the absentee ballots
And
provisional ballots. And so they're looking to see errors that were made. What was the intent? You know, did they just, they didn't sign the right place, mark the right, they used the wrong color pen, or they didn't use the pencil that they were supposed to use. Things like that. In Georgia, the issue is did they go out on time, and did they then come in late because they went out late? And so, and you know, these are county by county issues, very strategically filed, and in a sense, so you'll see lawsuits filed in a partisan way on both sides, because it's Broward that's the issue in Florida, and West Palm Beach and Miami-Dade, and those are Democrat strongholds, so that's where the lawsuits are being filed. And in Georgia, lawsuits are being filed in Democrat strongholds by the Democrat to get more votes counted in those places. So the opposite kind of strategy.
But these are legal strategies to utilize. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't knock Stacey Abrams' lawyers for doing what's legally allowed under the Constitution of the state of Georgia.
We know that these elections were very close.
Right.
One of the issues at play here is how it's unbelievable in a state as large as Georgia and Florida especially.
How this is happening.
How close these elections
could be. Unbelievably close. But here's what Georgia especially, no one expected it to be that. Well, no. There were reports that she was going to win, actually. So that's not true. It was very close. Here is the election supervisor of Broward County being questioned. This is by us. This is by a reporter. Take a listen.
Can you just update us where things are on the count right now? Just in general.
Could I please get a moment to go into the room and find out?
Sure.
Okay. When I come back, I'll let you know.
But Dr. Snipes, it is now Thursday. Mm-hmm. We are still counting ballots in Broward County.
5 pages or 6 pages for each of the people who voted.
But other counties have been able to do it.
But other counties didn't have 600,000 votes out there.
Well, Miami-Dade did.
Well, have you been inside Miami? Never mind. Let me go check. I'll check.
Okay, so here's the thing. She's under the spotlight because she has this issue with Broward County before where they had to pay legal fees of about $250,000. The process, no matter what anybody says, let me tell you what's happening. The lawyers are arriving. If they're there, and there will be more on the way.
To get access.
Exactly.
Well, they don't have it right now.
The key is access, which you do not have. Access is the key, and that's the only way the process is fair under due process.
These can be decided by judges quickly, right?
These are decided the day they're filed oftentimes. I remember that in Miami-Dade.
So the observers could get in by today.
That's if the court orders observers in, which I suspect they will. Yes, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go in Maricopa County. Yvette is calling from Arizona Online 2. Yvette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Yvette.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm so excited to speak to you guys. So I am a resident of Maricopa County, and we have just been having nothing but trouble over here. First thing Tuesday morning, before the sun even came up, a friend of mine went to go vote at his local polling place. And when he got there, there was a big sign on the door saying that the building had been locked up. It was closed by the landlord due to foreclosure on the building. And so here are all these people out there trying to vote. Yes, that was the polling place. And they were trying to vote before work.
Unreal.
People were stuck. They sent them to City Hall. They suggested they go to City Hall, get a ballot. When they get there, they tell them the printers are down and they cannot print their ballot. And so they're kind of left to figure out where to go vote. And I don't know if he ever made it anywhere to get his vote.
You know, he probably did. If you're not in the right precinct, you can cast provisionals in other precincts, and then they'll try to match you. It may have happened. That may have been one of the – I mean, listen, it's a large county. There are going to be issues like that with a precinct, unfortunately. There's going to be precinct issues. Those should be resolved well before the end of Election Day so that everybody can vote. But again, you bring up one of those ideas. Out of Arizona, a state which just says there are 400,000 late early votes to be counted in that will affect that Senate race, which right now the Democrat is leading, even though it looks like it was the Republican leading up until these new votes are being counted. Let's go to Michael in Ohio, online 4. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. A battleground state that was able to figure it out.
Yeah, election battleground state that you did figure it out in Ohio. Go ahead.
I'm very proud of our state.
Well, you can count.
In your best opinion, yes, we can. We're very good at that. At what point can we expect or would we even expect the federal government to get involved, especially in Broward County, where this seems to happen every election cycle? You know, name one other, election supervisor in any other area.
No, it's always Miami. Look, I mean, the truth is it's always Miami-Dade and Broward
and West Palm
Beach. That's
three.
Where it is.
And they are connected to each other.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just this is what it is. You know, good lawyers are going down there. There'll be good lawyers on both sides down there. And they're going to litigate it. And that's why that's where our Constitution actually works. We have the three branches of government. Yeah. You've now got an article, the right to vote. You got your right to vote, constitutional protected right to vote. That impacts Article 1, the House and Senate. It also now will involve Article 3, and that is the judiciary, the federal courts, if it goes into the federal court system. So all of that's going on in place. Let's try to
try to grab Lynn.
Lynn, go ahead. You're on quickly.
Hello, hello. Quick. My fear is that right now Broward County is busy generating votes fraudulently as we speak, and we've got lawyers going down there. How about law enforcement? Can Pam Bondi, our attorney general here in Florida...
She cannot go into an election office without a court order. I mean, although the election, because I think the election supervisors report in a different way. However, I'm not sure on that, and the attorney general may have the authority, but I think this is going to require
that,
a court order.
The attorney general of the state
did not.
It was the secretary.
It was the secretary of state. It was that's right, Catherine Harris.
Yeah.
So it's more the secretary of state. So the AG can try to ensure fairness. They can join lawsuits. I expect that's what's going to happen. Anyways, you know what? We're not going to have the answer to this by the time we're off the air now. So if anything develops, we'll keep you posted. If not, we'll talk to you Monday.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.